Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the Steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real Steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details. Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now save $30 on the American-made Steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real Steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome to Speak. Happy Friday. I'm Joy Taylor. That is
my Krueger. I'm with you. You ready to go? Weekend.
Ready
for the weekend, huh? Slick.
Jordan Schultz is here.
It's Friday.
Fox NBA analyst. Rick Bucher, Super Bowl champion James Jones.
You just felt the energy that Slick brought up in this thing.
Yeah, I did.
She just introduced you and you said,
Jordan Schultz from Bleacher Report. NFL analyst TJ Hushmanzada, Emmanuel Acho, and Shady are out today. But we're starting with breaking news in the NBA. Breaking news. We talked a little bit about the possibility yesterday, and now it is confirmed. The Lakers have fired head coach Darvin Ham after two seasons with the team. The move comes after the Lakers were eliminated in five games by the Nuggets. It's okay. This is what I'm going to look like today, guys. Listen, it's Friday. Let's go. Friday. I am actually this short. I'm missing a cushion. It's okay. We'll fix it. And this is ridiculous. I'm just going to stand. Is that going to make it worse? It's a little better. Okay. TJ, was it the right move for the Lakers to fire Darvin Ham?
It's the right move. And when the end of the season, we lose to the Nuggets. Okay. Mm. They asked LeBron, they said, are you going to be back? When he gives his answer, that's letting me know if Darvin Ham is the coach, I don't know if I want to be here. Mm. And so to me, he was sending a message, is I want a new head coach. AD says in the playoffs, we were lost. We were just out there running around. When your two best players are unsure in the direction that the head coach is taking them, you have to make a move. Mm-hmm. The NBA is a league where the stars pretty much control and run the team. And once that happened, once AD said what he said, and LeBron with his passive aggressiveness, will you be back?
Yeah.
You got to make a move.
Yeah. I like the way you set that up because you're acknowledging who had the knife. Yeah, you had to cut him. Because your two stars had a knife that said he's got to go by what they said. And then Darvin Ham didn't help by saying that one of his other starters blanked the bed for 10 games.
All the shots, though.
I get that, but there's just sometimes you have to play the political game and you can't say what you're really thinking. And if that was directed toward D'Angelo Russell, he was one of the guys that was in the locker room that was still on the Darvin Ham train. And so you lost that one. So there was no choice but to change this. But I appreciate that you're acknowledging why it needed to be changed. Because just from a strictly from coaching this team standpoint, I don't know that the change was necessary. And we're going to get to this because I don't know who you're going to get that is going to demonstrably change who you are.
Yeah. James?
No, and that's why my answer is no, because number one, there's no coach in the NBA right now, and there's a lot of great coaches in the NBA, but there's no coach in the NBA right now that's taking this Lakers roster to the finals and winning it. This man was in the Western Conference Finals last year. He's in the playoffs this year, and he's been taking all the shots, Slick.
Yeah.
Every time something goes bad, AD don't deliver in the fourth quarter, we lost when he get to the podium. We lost. We don't know what we're doing. Bron Bron dribbling the ball off his feet, turning the football basketball over crazy. He getting out there, he's saying the things that he's saying. So everybody's pointing the finger. D-Lo going 0 for 17, you're dang right. They've been pointing all the fingers at me. It's my turn to kind of point some of these fingers back at these players because I'm not the one playing. They got to make the buckets. And when we need to make the buckets, they are not making the buckets, are making the plays. So I don't necessarily think it was the right move because, number one, what's going to make these players happy then? Who's going to make these players happy? Every coach is not going to make the right decisions that you agree with. That's anything. That's football. That's bad. Anything. So you're going to get another head coach, and you're going to step up to the podium and say some of the same things about this other head coach, too. At one point, you got to hold yourself accountable, man. This man that was in the Western Conference Finals with a roster that a lot of people didn't think should have been in the Western Conference Finals. With a roster this year, he's in the playoffs again. I felt like he did the best he could with what he had. And then when he needed his star players to step up, they didn't.
Yeah.
So you know what? Everybody out the bushes, we caught.
You're not taking anything else from the team? No. I don't think it was the right move for the Lakers to fire Darvin Ham. I said this yesterday. I didn't want them to fire Darvin Ham because I have no idea, one, who they plan on replacing him with. And the replacement, obviously, would be ideally someone that could elevate the roster that you already have. Because to me, this isn't a coaching issue. It is a roster issue. Mm. And it is someone else's job to put together the roster. And the name is not Darvin Ham. Mm. So I'm just confused as to who's going to come in and make this particular roster into a team that's going to beat the Nuggets. Because you can't pitch me that the reason why he's fired is because you didn't win another game in this series. So what you're telling me is he's not fired because they lost the series to the Nuggets, because that's acceptable. But you got to win another game in the series in order for it to be an acceptable loss. That seems like for the Los Angeles Lakers, we're setting the bar a bit low. So what you're telling me is you are happy with this roster because there's no conversation about the person who put the roster together moving on. Mm-hmm. There's not even any conversation about if they did a good job or a bad job about putting the roster together. So you're telling me that the reason that they lost is because Darvin Ham was not a good enough coach to beat the Nuggets with the roster that you have. I personally do not see that. I don't see a world where there's any coach on this planet not named Eric Spoelstra who is unavailable to coach the Lakers could come in and take this roster to beat the Nuggets. And as much as I love Spoelstra, I don't even know if Spoelstra can do it. Spoelstra's a great coach. He's not Moses. So I really don't feel like this was the right move, one, for the Lakers as far as winning goes, and two, as far as the future goes. What is the goal for the Lakers? Are you telling me that you're trying to compete for a championship? I don't believe that.
The goal is to make sure your best players are happy.
What I'm saying for
TJ, if that's the goal,
one to two more years.
If that's the goal, then fine. I can get with you there. If the goal is just to keep your two top players happy, fine.
And
here's the problem. Here's the problem though. If the only goal with the next hire is to keep your top two players happy, you can't also be pitching me that you're competing at a high level. Like, your goal is not to compete at a high level.
No.
You were just in the Western Conference Finals.
As long as we have these two players, we're competitive with everybody. We compete with anybody.
Okay.
We compete with anybody.
So then
except for the Nuggets.
And where?
At times.
At where? No, I'm saying, like, compete, like, win championships with this? What?
Listen, a play here or a play there. Y'all act like y'all didn't watch these games. A play here, when you lose close games.
Here we go.
When you lose close games, it can go either way.
Come on.
Gotta make a made shot or a missed shot.
Yeah. Come on.
Is Darvin Ham a good call, a bad call?
Is Darvin Ham playing defense or offense?
He's out there putting them in to play defense and offense.
Who, though? Like, who is he putting in, bro, TJ?
When you coach the Lakers, this is just me, and I'm not a basketball player. You cannot have LeBron on the bench, Austin Reeves on the bench. Who is going to facilitate the offense?
Okay.
D'Angelo Russell, and AD running the pick and roll?
I'm not disputing.
Austin Reeves and LeBron, one of those two must be on the court at all times. Because when LeBron's out, now Austin Reeves,
that's what he did last year. Hold on. Do you hear yourself?
I'm watching the game.
We're talking about 39-year-old LeBron James or undrafted Austin Reeves.
Don't undraft him now. I mean, he should have been drafted. They just evaluated him wrong.
They have to be on the court at all times.
No, one of them. One of them.
I understand that. One of them has to be on the court at all times or we have no chance. What are we talking?
I mean, this is the NBA. It's a players' league.
Are you?
It's a players' league. It's a players' league.
Okay, well, let's pivot to this then. Who should the Lakers want as their new head coach?
Yeah, TJ, answer that for us, TJ. Who's taking them to the finals?
Y'all really hating on my team.
What? Who's taking them to the finals?
I don't know if it's, hey, I think I'm genuinely confused as to what the goals are. I am a goal-oriented person. I need to know, how do we measure success and failure? Or, in fact, are we measuring success and failure at all? And to me, I can measure something when I've seen what can be achieved. So Darvin Ham, as the head coach of the Lakers, went to the Western Conference Finals from the play-in tournament, which is by definition something that we did not think was possible. So we saw that happen, right? We speak very highly of Eric Spoelstra, who did the same thing, except for they went to the finals, right? So we just dismiss the fact, because they got swept, that they were in the Western Conference Finals. I push back on that you can talk about how good all those other teams were in the West last year. They had an opportunity to go to the Western Conference Finals, and they didn't go.
There must be things behind the scenes, game plan things that the players don't agree with. There has to be something.
Okay. I could get with that if the players were all...
And when
playing
I say
at the
players,
highest level possible
it's really
weren't
two players.
And weren't
it's
being put
it's
in
really
positions
two players,
to win.
Because this is a world when we live in a world of have and have nots. Mm-hmm. LeBron and AD, they the haves. Everybody else is a have not. Whatever they want, that's what's going to happen.
You know what? I have to ask this question of Joy and James, because I'm not going to get a realistic answer from you. Look at the Lakers roster. Look at the Warriors roster. And look at the Sacramento Kings roster.
Okay.
Which of those was the best and the worst? How would you rank those three rosters? Warriors, Kings, Lakers this year.
I would go Warriors, Kings, Lakers.
Yeah.
And that would be my order.
Like, best to worst?
Outside of the stars?
Best to worst. Outside of the stars.
Outside of the stars?
I feel like Kuminga and a lot of those guys coming off
the totality. Yes. In totality,
you gotta go
those
Kings,
three rosters.
One.
Okay.
I would go Kings, Lakers, Warriors.
Were the Kings?
Me?
Were the Kings in the playoffs?
No.
Were the Warriors in the playoffs?
No.
So you can give me all this about the stars don't like what he's doing and we're not playing this and behind the scenes. The fact of the matter is they got back to the playoffs with a lesser roster than those two other teams. And we love Mike Brown as a head coach. He's not going anywhere. Steve Kerr just got a 2-year, $35 million extension. And Darvin Ham is paying the price because you didn't beat the defending champions? You only took one game off of them?
Hey, sometimes it's how you lose, man. You can't just
I know.
Why did you how you lose, though,
I know.
Is the
it's
question.
Crazy how you have 4 points in the fourth
don't
quarter.
Believe in you. They don't believe in the direction in your leadership.
But how about believing in putting the ball in the bucket, though, TJ?
They don't believe.
The man had four. He's the have. He had 4 points. The have not went over 17 and all that.
To a certain degree, I feel you. You're like, if you watch a Laker game, a playoff game with me, you're going to think something's wrong with me. And so
I don't have to watch the game feel that right now.
Who should they hire, though? Who should they hire as the head coach?
You want to get somebody that LeBron's going to respect, that he's been down this road with him before, and they've been successful going down this road.
He's not available.
And he may not be available, but they will be eliminated tonight and just go right across the hallway and say, hey, Ty Lue, come on.
Yeah.
And then, to me, that's...
Is that the only option? Is that the... I mean...
Unless there's a dark horse out there, like... Spoelstra's not
available. Spoelstra's not available, guys.
Rick Carlisle
is
available.
I speak on behalf of the Miami Heat. Spoelstra will not be on the market.
So you want somebody that LeBron is comfortable with because that's what it is.
So
he's won a championship with Ty Lue. They've been down this road.
Let me ask you that. Do you think this is going to be enough? You think if let's say Spoelstra was available, let's say that Rick Carlisle was available, let's say you could get Ty Lue.
With this
Does that make them a championship contender?
No.
We're always a contender when we got LeBron and AD.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You just won.
James, who should they bring in?
Whoever LeBron and AD want.
I don't know who that is. I wish I had LeBron and AD's number to call and be like, bro, who y'all want? Because that's basically what they are saying. It's been a lot of coaches under LeBron James that have gotten fired that have done pretty good. Vogel won a championship with LeBron. He got fired. So I think in this situation, what do you want, LeBron James? How much longer are you going to play? Because if you're going to play 2 years, we'll hire a coach that you want for 2 years and then fire him after the 2 years and figure out what we're going to do. Because that's what's happening. That's what's going on right now. I don't like none of this. This is not Darvin Ham's fault. This team was in the Western Conference Finals. This team was back in the playoffs. This is the players' fault. They did not deliver. So whoever your players want to come be this head coach, then let them hire him, because it's not going to be no head coach they bringing in here that you just going to say, I love everything he does. We play football. Marvin was your coach. I'm sure you probably love Marv. It's a lot of stuff you like. What he doing? I ride for Coach Mike, as you know. It's a lot of stuff I did not like that Coach Mike did. But at the end of the day, we are playing the game, and it was not all on Coach Mike. I used to tell everybody all the time, the plays we won the Super Bowl with was the same plays we lost in the playoffs with. And everybody like, what plays we calling? The same plays we won the Super Bowl with. We just not making the plays now. Right. They making the plays. At the end of the day, Darvin Ham ain't turning the ball over. He not bouncing the ball off his foot. He not getting beat by Jokic in the fourth quarter, getting dominated by him. He not scoring 4 points. What do you want him to do? So LeBron and AD, come sit down in the man office. Tell us who you want. Who you want? So you can agree with him on everything. Because he didn't agree with a lot of stuff Ty Lue said.
Man, what?
That's all I'm saying. So as players, hey, do what you do. But let them hire the next head coach. That'll be me. I wouldn't even be in the meetings, Joy Joy.
So you just, we going to play this defense, and we just going to let. The fact that you let Jokic in the fourth quarter go one-on-one.
He's defensive player of the year, though. You want us to send a bunch of help over there to the half?
If he killing you, you got to send help.
So if he killing you, what you going to do?
But
send
who help. Is like the you. Help? Where's the help coming from?
No, I mean on the court during the game.
Yeah.
Somebody got to come help.
The Nuggets have a better roster, though.
Game two, Joker literally just took over, and they let him play one-on-one. Mm. And then after.
And what had AD been doing against Jokic
first three quarters?
Part of
really
that
good.
Season?
Really good. Done, one-on-one.
And you're talking, you're talking about Jokic. He's the best passing center. He's the best player in the league.
Make somebody else beat you.
How about
and they will
win the game?
And they will, because they have a better
and
roster.
They did. Porter was killing them boys. And now we want to run shooter, run people to Porter and let somebody else beat you.
Ron, exactly. Yes, D'Lo.
Take
the ball. Yes.
All I know
attention
is
detail.
All I That's know it. Is if you up 20-some points in the game and 15 points
game.
In the game.
We should have won that
players,
game.
Players, do what you got to do and deliver.
We should have won that game.
That ain't got nothing to do with Darvin.
That hurt me.
You know,
that
are
hurt
we
me.
Blaming Ty Lue for the Clippers and their collapses?
Yeah.
His best player,
how is Ty?
His
how,
best player is a plan.
Okay, but he's still got two other really good players. And on paper, I believe you
got
agree.
Three. I mean, Westbrook.
The Clippers have the better roster.
Who do you think they should hire?
I want them to hire J.J. Redick.
Who do you
I think? Want them. No,
who
do you, look.
They, okay, to what James's you want point, them to do.
There's not a solution. If there's, look, you could go get Mike Budenholzer. Mm-hmm. If you're going to go get one guy who has a ring to his name, who is, if, you know, look, you didn't like his assistant in Darvin. You assume that Bud's going to have a little more authority in that locker room.
Mm-hmm.
He's the only one who makes sense in terms of I can make an argument that I'm upgrading at the position for guys who are available.
Right.
But short of that, it's a 1 to 2 year experiment. You have the sideshow of the LeBron Bronny father son thing. You can't tell me that you're Joey. I think you started out like you're at cross purposes here. Are we trying to win a championship?
Right.
Are we trying to cater to our stars?
Because trying to do it all.
Well,
you can't serve.
I don't know that you can serve both of those masters.
Yeah, you can't make it all happen. I don't like that they fired him. I'm with you. Obviously, Budenholzer is the most qualified available. You know, has a ring, has the status,
the resume,
to come in, the resume
fits.
To come in to that fits this. Ty Lue, if I'm on the Clippers and I hear you talking about Ty Lue, isn't that incentive to keep Ty Lue that the Lakers might be interested in immediately hiring Ty Lue?
1,000%.
So Ty Lue's job is getting more secure the more that Ty Lue's name gets put into the Lakers' position.
He shouldn't want to be there. His best player can never play.
So, okay, I hear you, but this is Ty Lue's team, and it's I don't think it's that simple. Every time we say Ty Lue, I believe his job is more and more secure with the Clippers, because why would they give him up if the Lakers were immediately going to hire him? That doesn't make any sense. Jason Kidd is also not going to be available. These guys are not available now, and they likely will not be available. So who is available? Obviously, J.J. Redick is someone who's out there. That's something that might be possible.
Please make that move.
I mean, if you're going to hire someone that is just for the purposes of making LeBron happy, of keeping AD and LeBron happy, then you would want to hire somebody who is in their circle, obviously. I don't know what the Lakers' strategy is for this. It's very obvious that this was something that, to my opinion, was a very spur-of-the-moment type of decision, because it doesn't seem like the plan is set forward.
And 2 weeks ago, they were just saying that Darvin Ham's staying. Like, they changed direction based
on
that
press conference. That press conference changed their mind.
I mean, there's other names out there.
Phil Handy,
David Fizdale,
J.J.
Redick.
Yeah.
But I just don't know what is the goal.
What's the end
goal? It's hard for me to know whose name is supposed to be in here if we don't know what the goal
is. What's the end goal?
The
goal is to be playing in June. That's the end goal.
Okay.
Then we're going to start having conversations about the roster then, too.
Yeah, we need a little reinforcements, a little bit. Mm. Knock down a couple shots.
Coming up.
Appreciate that.
Dak Prescott might have to play out his contract, but he sounds fine with it. Do we like his approach on an extension? But first, the UFL kicks off this weekend, and we have to give you a few stars to watch next on Speak. Don't forget, you can check us out every day on the Fox Sports channel on Sirius XM.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $20 on the steel MS-162 or MS-170 chainsaw. Real steel. Offer valid through June 30th, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
From the UFL to the NFL, Jerry Jones said recently that he'd, quote, like to see more leaves fall before giving an extension to Dak Prescott. Dak responded saying communication has been back and forth, adding, quote, this is where I want to be, but my focus is on helping the team. Being the good guy. James?
What does want to see more leaves fall? What does that mean?
You cannot possibly expect me to interpret that, but my best guess is that more time.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe he means, like, more things have to happen.
Gotcha.
But essentially, like, more time, but, like, maybe he's talking about the other contracts.
Gotcha.
So I don't know.
He might not be first on the list.
Right.
Gotcha.
So once the other leaves fall, then we'll focus on that leaf.
Okay. The CD leaf.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
We're trying to read the tea leaves in Cowboys country. Gotcha. I don't know. I'm not a country girl. I'm a city mouse. But
there we go.
Apparently, there's leaves in Dallas that have to fall before the contract gets signed. Or maybe they need to make the paper. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I appreciate you breaking that down.
Yeah, I don't know how good.
Exactly. I love how Dak is approaching this. Dak knows that he has all the leverage. And he even got more leverage after the draft. And he even got a little bit more leverage when they say, Trey Lance, we're not picking up your fifth-year option. Because what is the plan after Dak? We know who's available in free agent. See next year at the quarterback spot. And like I tell my kids, it's what we call boo-boo the foo-foo is what's in free agency quarterback. So Dak Prescott has to be the quarterback of the Dallas Cowboys moving forward. He has all the leverage. So I love how he's handling it, because there's no need to rah-rah. There's no need to say I'm whole now. There ain't no need to do none of that, because I know right now I am the only answer for the Dallas Cowboys with what you guys have shown me. And what I mean by that is, you ain't draft nobody. You ain't bringing nobody in free agency. There's nothing you have done to threaten me or make me think that my job is in jeopardy or me not getting a contract. Dak Prescott is handling this the right way, because he knows that he is going to be the quarterback of the future for the Dallas Cowboys.
I think there might be some other stuff going on that we're not considering. We're very, like, straightforward with this. Either he has an extension and they're saying that they're working on an extension, or they're not, or they have to take all the logos off the social media and do the fake breakup thing. But I don't know that he needs to do anything in this situation. Like, he can continue to say the right thing and do the right thing. He doesn't have to really play hardball with them. And it also doesn't serve him, because if he comes out very aggressively asking for more money or demanding the extension or saying that he's going to sit out or all those things. What does that look like to CeeDee and to Micah, who are also looking to get paid?
Yeah.
Does that cause some problems in the locker room that are unnecessary? Because he does have a lot of leverage right now. The Cowboys have some leverage as well, obviously, because players want to play on longer term deals, and that's what he wants is an extension. But I just don't know that there's a need to really panic right now. I'm not going to try and interpret Jerry, but there is some time to get this done, and there are other guys that they need to pay as well. So I don't know what's the value of him being the bad guy right now in May. What do you think, TJ?
I love the way Dak is approaching this, but this is who Dak is. This is how he handles and conducts himself. He does a press conference. He always says the right things. Mm-hmm. And so I wouldn't expect him to handle it any other way. When you say Jerry Jones is taking his time, how'd that help last time you took your time with Dak? Mm-hmm. Because you probably could have signed Dak for about $33 million a year, and you end up giving him 40 because you took your time. So more time you take, the more you're going to pay him. The problem, when I look at this, this shows me that the Dallas Cowboys and Jerry Jones are uncertain if they want to re-sign Dak Prescott. This is what quarterback goes through this? When you are a team's franchise quarterback and you're available and ready for an extension, they need to do it for your cap hit, it's done.
But
it's the uncertainty.
But wouldn't, if you didn't think you was going to re-sign Dak, wouldn't you have a plan? Like at least the Atlanta Falcons said, you know what,
you
Kirk coming off of Achilles.
But teams don't do this. Not when you have a franchise quarterback, teams don't do this. They don't leave their... This last year on this deal, let's see what happens. Let's see some leaves must fall. Like, what? We re-sign you, re-extend you.
Yeah.
They don't do it. So it's the uncertainty in the Cowboys organization. Is Dak our guy? Can he get us to where we want to go? Because if they all felt that he could, extension.
I think now I'm breaking down leaves falling. Because I think leaves falling may mean
the fall.
Years-wise, yeah. Money-wise, we trying to keep all three of y'all. All these leaves that's trying to fall off right now, we trying to keep all three of y'all. So let's get this thing worked out, but it may not necessarily mean $50 million a year or whatever. Right. It might mean a couple extra years, $30 million, whatever.
Yeah, I'm going to double down on what James said earlier. The reason that Dak is playing this well is because he already knows, he's preconditioned to see, I have all the leverage. And what I mean by that is, he's got a $55 million cap hit. He's got a no-trade clause, a no-tag clause. And the alternative is he waits, and he's 31 years old next offseason, 5 years younger than Kirk Cousins, by the way, who's coming off of Achilles, just got a $50 million signing bonus, $100 million guaranteed.
My goodness.
And that's coming off, by the way, his best season yet. 30 years old is the prime of a quarterback. Mm-hmm. These guys blossom late. So if you're Dak Prescott, you're handling this perfectly.
Well, because the
worst case scenario is you play it out, you have another Pro Bowl all-caliber type of season, suddenly you become the highest paid quarterback in the league, or one of them.
You know what somebody can say is this. You couldn't take the Cowboys where they needed to go with all that talent.
Yeah.
Without Dak.
So now I'm going to bring you to my team.
We don't have near
the talent that the Cowboys have.
I would
definitely agree with you if I hadn't just watched 36-year-old Kirk Cousins coming off of an Achilles injury get almost $200 million. Yeah, $180 million. Dak is going to command top of the market free agency money if he makes it through this season playing.
And the Cowboys are happy with. They seem to be cool with that. They're okay with that.
But why not just take care of it now? I mean,
so here's the thing, though. They might be already doing that. Like, there is also an option here that we're not considering where, despite what we're hearing, they actually are working all of this out. And because of that, Dak is playing it cool because he knows that the agents are working on it. And this happens sometimes. We talked about how's Herbert going to get paid? How's Burrow going to get paid? Guys get paid all the time, and it doesn't ever get out. That doesn't mean that the first pass of the contract just gets signed. There were some red lines sent back and forth on Doc Hub, but you have to sort it out first, and doesn't necessarily mean it has to hit the media. So there's also an option out there that they are talking about this. They are trying to work it out. They're just trying to fix it and fit it the way that you're saying, so that everyone can stay on the team, so that they can make sure that everybody is signed and paid. And maybe that's what's happening as well. It just feels weird because of what you said.
But his average salary is $40 million, right? So to your point, TJ, if they would have handled it, why not learn from a mistake, right? I think we could, I don't even want to use the quotes. It's a mistake. They waited. They paid extra. They paid a premium. Why not take care of it now? I think Dak is playing this perfectly, and I think the Cowboys will regret.
Dak has another year like he had last year.
Right. His best season yet.
It's $55 million a year.
Yeah.
Like, if he has another year, it's $55 million a year.
Yeah.
And you give him that, then CeeDee Lamb is like, okay, I got to get 35 now.
Mm.
And then Micah Parsons saying, I got to get 35 now. Like, and so I don't understand. Good teams, and when you have a good player and you know you want to keep him, you sign him early.
It's going to get done. It is.
You sign him early.
I tend to think it's going to get done as well, only because they don't have a succession plan.
They don't got a plan.
And, I mean, it's like, Dak is the Cowboys.
Dak
like, they might be a little impatient about how it continues to end. And look, I don't think there's any inclination that they're not going to finish the season exactly how they always finish the season, because that's what the Cowboys do. And until I see otherwise, what's the point of believing
that? It was a late shot at the Cowboys.
I mean, this has been almost 30 years. It's scientific at this point.
We're going to do the exact same thing
and expect a different result. I mean, I don't. You know, dare to dream if you want to. The Cowboys fans will do that. But I think that it is a very peculiar situation because of what you said. Teams do not have a guy coming off of an All-Pro season
at 31 years old,
overall mostly healthy, runner-up in MVP, coming off of that type of season and not be running to give them a contract.
I know we think Jerry crazy, but he ain't this crazy. Jerry is going to pay Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott is going to be the franchise quarterback, and I'm with you, Joy. It might end up in the same result in the playoffs. We don't know. But what we do know, it is hard to find really good quarterbacks in this league. And Dak Prescott is a really good quarterback in this league. They are not going to let this man walk. He is going to get his dough.
They may let him walk.
No, TJ.
They may let him walk.
Well, he might be too expensive.
They may.
And upset that they didn't give him a contract if it ends up in that situation also. Coming up, the Knicks are on to the second round. What a great game. But how seriously are we taking them in the Eastern Conference? That is next on Speak.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The Knicks beat the Sixers last night in a thriller and are now on to the second round to face the Pacers. Jalen Brunson had an unbelievable series, scoring at least 40 points in three straight games. The Slick, how seriously are you taking the Knicks in the East?
Very seriously, it was weird for me hearing you introduce them and say the Knicks multiple times and see that jersey up there. At this point in the postseason, this is a little of a out-of-body experience on this. But, no, I have taken them seriously since they added OG Anunoby and going 25-4 with him, finishing on a hot streak to finish second in the Eastern Conference. I feel like the Eastern Conference is wide open this year. I know what the history is when your best player is an undersized guard. That's generally not a championship formula. Very difficult to do. But this team has a degree of magic to it, whether it's the Villanova guys being reunited, the addition of OG Anunoby. I think that they have all the pieces, not only to beat Indiana, but to be a dark horse in terms of getting to the finals and upsetting the Boston Celtics. So this series is going to be decided by pace. It's going to be decided who controls the pace, because Indiana, they're living up to their Pacers name. They're second fastest team in terms of how they play over the course of the regular season. New York Knicks, dead last. And Tibbs plays his starters like 40 minutes a game. They can't be going up and down with those racehorses.
Yeah.
They got to keep it at a normal pace. But if they're able to do that, and I believe they will be, then I see them advancing and playing in the East, the Knicks,
in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Strange.
Well, that would be an incredible Eastern Conference Finals. The NBA would love that. So keep speaking that into existence.
Celtics-Knicks?
Yes. I'm very excited for this series. I do think it is going to be Styles make fights. Mm. So we'll see how this ends up and what kind of adjustments to make, because we know his coaching style is very specific. So is he going to have some wiggle room when you have the Pacers running up and down as they were throughout their entire series? They didn't miss a beat with that either. They won two of their three games against the Knicks during the regular season. Brunson also averaged 36 points per game in the three games against the Pacers this season.
But I don't think OG played... Mm.
Yeah, I don't make too much of regular season matches anyway.
And Mitchell Robinson was out.
What did it matter in the Suns-Timberwolves series?
No, like, good point.
Nothing at all. So you can look to that, I guess, you know, probably for gambling, too, if you want to pay attention to a few of those things. But I don't think it matters much right now, especially the way that both of these teams are playing in the postseason. Yeah. So I'm with you. This is going to be a match of styles, and we'll see who can make the right adjustments once the flow of the series starts. But I think you have to take the Knicks very seriously, and particularly because of the way that Brunson's playing. When your stars are playing at a high level, you've got to pay attention to that. James, how seriously do you take the Knicks?
Very serious. And if there's any team in the Eastern Conference that's thinking about playing with the Knicks, you better think again. Because the Knicks, the way they play basketball, number one, I understand pace. But watching that game last night in Philly, the hardest playing basketball team was the New York Knicks. All series long, they got to every single loose ball. Mm-hmm. Four opportunities turned into at least 25 points, and that game came down to one possession. The Knicks play the way that you are supposed to play the game of basketball. They play extremely hard. They know exactly who their star players are. They know exactly who their shooters are. They know exactly who their defenders are. They know how to play the game of basketball, and they are doing it at a high level. Teams should be very scared. And when I say teams, I mean the Eastern Conference teams, and that's Boston, that's Indiana. They should be very, very scared because this team right here, the Knicks, is a very good basketball team.
The Knicks are a James Jones type basketball.
I'm taking serious, but if I'm the Celtics, I'm not afraid.
No, you
shouldn't. If I'm the Celtics, I'm not afraid of the Knicks.
Number one,
but I do take them seriously.
Yeah.
To be doing this without Julius Randle, it just shows you how good of a player, an animal that Jalen Brunson is. He single-handedly is willing the Knicks to victory. But you brought up a point. Mm. The Pacers play fast. Mm-hmm. The Knicks play slow. Mm-hmm. That series against the Sixers want to play slow also because of Embiid coming off injury.
Yep.
You can't play Josh Hart 46 minutes per game like you just did against the Sixers. You can't play Brunson 44 minutes a game like you just did against the Sixers.
OG, I think, averaged 40
OG
plus.
Averaged 42 minutes per game.
Yeah.
You do that against the Pacers, it's over. What? Because those dudes are going to be gassed in the fourth quarter. And Tibbs has a history of this. Mm-hmm. From his time with the Chicago Bulls, his starters play heavy minutes.
Yeah.
You do this against the Pacers at the pace that they want to play at.
Yep.
I don't know if this gets to six games.
Yeah.
How much they will have in the tank.
But they asked Josh Hart that question, too, though. And Josh Hart say, I play like this in the regular season, dog.
Hey.
So I'm prepared for this. I ain't getting rest minutes and rest games.
Until you start playing every other day.
I ain't getting rest minutes and rest games like LeBron and Kawhi and all that. So then now when you ask me to play a bunch of minutes, I'm my back hurting, hammy hurting, knee hurting, all that. That's what I do, dog.
That's Josh
you know
Hart.
What I'm saying?
What about
and
the rest
at the end of the day, the last time I checked, your starters is supposed to be the ones playing the most minutes and doing their job.
No. It's fine to play. Nobody's saying that they shouldn't be playing those minutes, but how fast are they playing those minutes? How much of this are they doing during those minutes? It's one thing if you're playing this kind of 42 minutes. I can't wait to see it. I can't wait to see what the matchup looks like. My anxiety is, are the adjustments going to be able to be made? Because
what adjustments? You know,
historically speaking, that might be something I have a little
play
anxiety
more.
About.
So that's the adjustment. Yeah. Play the whole
more,
game.
Harder. The Sixers were eliminated last night, and the Bucks were also eliminated by the Pacers. But who was the bigger playoff disappointments, like the Sixers or the Bucks?
It was the Sixers for me, simply because I had greater expectations for them for this season. Obviously, I did not expect them to win the series because Joel Embiid missed 2 months, and then he had 1 week in the regular season to try to get back in shape for playoff basketball. I knew that that formula was not going to work against a team that plays as hard as the Knicks do, and with both Mitchell Robinson and Isaiah Hartenstein, and again, one of the things that Tibbs will do is he'll look at a guy like Joel Embiid and go, oh, he's not in shape? oh, we're going to make him work. And that's exactly what he did. And so Joel was out of gas by the fourth quarter. So I expected that. But they were, back on January 25th, they were 29-14. They were in third place in the Eastern Conference. And then Joel Embiid got hurt. And that changed the whole temperament of this team, of this season for them. Meanwhile, I just was never buying the Milwaukee Bucks from the beginning. And I know that they had a tremendous record. They had even a better record. They were 31 wins, right? But they had also played the easiest schedule in the league. And I just did not believe that defensively they were anywhere close to what they needed to be. I did not think they were contenders. And I thought that the 76ers, I thought this was their year for the way the Eastern Conference was constituted, the way Joel Embiid was playing at the beginning of the year. Tyrese Maxey had taken a step. You'd gotten rid of the whole James Harden distraction. Mm-hmm. Nick Nurse, I believe, is that was one of the best hires last summer.
Yep.
Like, you had all of the things to make this a special year for the Philadelphia 76ers, and it did not happen.
Yeah, I got to go to the Sixers. I mean, the Bucks didn't have Giannis, and they didn't have Dame for four of the six games. So it's disappointing that they weren't available and they weren't healthy, but we knew Giannis wasn't going to play in this series, and it was going to be an uphill battle for them from the beginning. Maybe you had a little faith in Dame, but then obviously Dame misses time. So it's disappointing that the Bucks series ended this way, but not surprising. The Sixers has got to be more disappointing. It has to be, especially when you consider lost in the Eastern Conference semis, 2018. Yeah. Lost in the Eastern Conference semis, 2019. Lost in the first round, 20. Semis. Lost in the first round. The process is processing, guys.
Process.
It's been processed. Like,
no, it's glitching.
It's still, it's like...
You got that spinning...
You're, like, mixing the batter, like, enough already. And so I feel for Sixers fans, because it's like, when is this ever going to come together? Like, it always feels like this is the year, and it's not. So that's got to be... I mean, and I understand. Health matters. But health also matters. Like, being healthy and available is a big part of how this all works. So it's another disappointing playoff run for the Sixers. And they were competitive in that series. So
that's the other thing too. I mean, two of those games, you know, I know you like to say that Lakers games could go either way, but two of these games, literally the one game two, they should have won, right?
My goodness.
And then last night was
Call the foul, the foul, they win.
TJ, who's more disappointing?
I mean, for me, as by default, it's the Sixers. They're the most disappointing. You can't. Giannis didn't play the entire series. Dame missed two games.
One game, right?
And Giannis he's a top three player in the NBA. And so when one of the best players, not only on your team, but in the entire NBA, doesn't play, I didn't expect, when Giannis didn't play, you have Damian Lillard. I didn't expect them to win. Without Giannis, I didn't think they had a chance. And so for me, Embiid did play. He was hobbled. And I thought the Sixers would beat the Knicks. I really did. Tribute to what the Knicks did. But for me, the biggest disappointment, because Embiid did play and he was pretty much scoring 30 points per game.
First two quarters.
They have to be the disappointment. Yeah, he just kind of wore out, you know?
Yeah. I mean, and to me, that was to be expected. So the Sixers losing, I'm with you. I thought they had a chance in that series, but I expected New York to win. And I expected Indiana to win the series against Milwaukee even before Giannis got hurt, because of the way they matched up during the regular season. Milwaukee just couldn't defend fast teams. No, I'm telling you.
If Giannis was healthy, you were picking the Pacers.
I was still picking. I thought it would go seven.
Giannis and Dame were both healthy for the entire series, and the Bucks don't make it out of the first round.
I was still picking Indiana. It was an edgy pick, I'll give you that.
I would have liked to see that.
I'm taking the Bucks, because I thought the Bucks, even with Dame Lillard, especially before he had got hurt, I thought they could have a better chance of beating the Pacers than the Knicks. I mean, than the Sixers have with a hobbled Embiid beating the Knicks. I didn't think that was even possible. Even if Embiid was 100% healthy, I thought that was a tough field battle. I thought Dame could possibly get this thing done. Round number one with the Indiana Pacers. But this is just a disappointment in the playoffs and in season, right? Because we're talking about firing Darvin Ham. Well, they let the players run the ship too.
Because they had arguably, what, the second best record in the NBA when they say, we don't like the what the coach is doing, and how he talking, and how he walking, and how he looking, and all that type of stuff. And you got the coach out of there, and then you bring Doc Rivers in there, and it was a huge disappointment to finish the season. And then your best player gets hurt going into the playoffs, and now it's a bigger disappointment in the playoffs. So for me, when Dame Lillard got traded to the Milwaukee Bucks, and I speak for myself, I said, man, if they could stay healthy, this team is going to the finals. That's just how it's going to be. Them and Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference Finals, I don't know what's it going to look like. I don't know who's going to win. That's what I thought once they traded for Dame. And then now to be out in the first round, who I thought Dame Lillard could at least get this series one done, and now they are going home, to me, it's a bigger disappointment for the Milwaukee Bucks.
Even with everyone injured.
Even with everyone injured. Because Dame missed one game. He came back. I thought Dame Lillard was going to get this series done. And to be honest with you, you're high on the Pacers. I wasn't. The Pacers was fighting in the play-in for a long time. I wasn't really, really high on the Pacers. So I'm like, if Dame Lillard can get this one done, Giannis come back second round, I thought the Milwaukee Bucks would win this. And then especially the way they looked game one, winning by 20, I'm like, oh, they're going to be just fine with Dame Lillard. This is a disappointment seeing Milwaukee go home. Like, to be honest with you, when they made the Dame trade, will we be more surprised that they went home round one or Philly?
Oh, for sure, the Bucks.
That's what I'm saying.
But that was Giannis assuming that play. Giannis played.
Yeah. I know
Giannis
that, but I'm just saying.
And we know Dame was compromised. He just showed a ton of heart and will to show up for his teammates, but he was compromised.
Yeah. I think them healthy in the first round exit, like it's talking about, would be
that would be crazy.
Would be dramatic. But I have to, especially because the Sixers, like the Bucks, have a little bit more equity to me. I think they'll come back. They're healthy next year. We'll have a little bit more belief in them. The Sixers, like, I mean, what do we expect from the Sixers at this point? It's been years.
It has. I will say that they do have the wherewithal to improve this roster in a way that Milwaukee does not. Milwaukee came in as the oldest team in the league, and all guys, Chris Middleton, Brooke Lopez, Dame, like all of them are on really big contracts. I don't know how you can fix that. Philadelphia has some room where they can add a piece, and I think if they get the right guy, then
process will process some more.
Ingredients
in the machine and process some more. Coming up, it's Friday, so that means I'm going to hand out flowers to a few deserving people in the sports world. That's next on Speak Friday Flowers.
And that reminds me.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of steel tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, save $30 on the American-made steel FS56 RCE trimmer. Real steel. The FS56 RCE is made in America of U.S. and global materials. Offer valid through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Welcome back to Speak. It's Friday, so you know what time it is. Friday flowers. We're giving out some flowers to a few deserving folks in the sports world. And let's start with the real CP3, Candace Parker. The Hoops legend retired this week after a historic 16-year career. Parker is the only player to win three WNBA titles with three different teams, and is a two-time league MVP. She also won two NCAA national championships at Tennessee and two Olympic gold medals with Team USA. All of those accomplishments round out one of the greatest women's basketball resumes we've ever seen. So flowers to Candace on an incredible career on the court. So I'm not sure if you guys saw this. This is a pretty crazy story. If you're afraid of bees, which obviously most people stay away from them, a beekeeper stole the show earlier this week in Major League Baseball. So the Dodgers and Diamondbacks game was delayed because a hive of bees gathered on top of the protective netting behind home plates. Obviously can't have that. Well, beekeeper Matt Hilton was on hand to save the day. So he went out and safely removed the bees so that the game could happen. And he threw out the first pitch as a reward. So good job on getting the bees out there safely and getting us back to ball. So some flowers, and bees love flowers. So that's very appropriate. Lewis Hamilton is a legend in the world of racing. Seven-time Formula One champion. He connected with some local youth in South Florida before tomorrow's Miami Grand Prix. He shared his desire to win his eighth F1 championship, which would break his tie with Michael Schumacher as the series' most successful driver ever. And of course, it's more than just winning for Hamilton, who's been the only black driver in F1 since 2007. So that is a powerful message to the youth on representation. Very excited for F1 in Miami. And good luck to Hamilton on his quest for the all-time record. That is Friday Flowers. Coming up, Michael Penix Jr. was a top 10 pick in the draft. So what are the expectations for him in Atlanta? That's next on Speak.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The Falcons took Michael Penix Jr. with the 8th overall pick, with Kirk Cousins also on the roster. An NFL writer said they need Penix to match Aaron Rodgers as the only quarterback to sit his entire rookie season and then win the Super Bowl with the same team that drafted him in order to make the gamble pay off. Take a listen to The Rook.
I'm here to do whatever I can to help this team win football games. You know, that's the biggest thing for me. You know, I love winning, and, you know, I'm a team guy, and that's what I'm going to be in the locker room.
James, what are your expectations for one, Michael Penix Jr.?
I got very high expectations for him. I feel like Michael Penix was the most quarterback-ready QB to come out of college. And what I mean by that is playing from the pocket. He did not do a lot of scrambling. We all know he ran 4-4. If he got to get out of the pocket, he will get out of the pocket. But he played so well from the pocket. 1-2-3, ball out. 1-2-3-4-5, ball out. Extremely accurate quarterback, throwing his receivers open. He made everybody around him better. And that's what I expect. I expect Kirk Cousins to play at max for the Atlanta Falcons 2 years. If Kirk Cousins does not win a Super Bowl for the Atlanta Falcons in 2 years, Michael Penix will be the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons. And I truly believe that it's going to be this young fella's division. He will be consistently in the playoffs with an opportunity to compete for championships. I think he's that caliber player, and I truly believe that's why the Atlanta Falcons took him where they took him, even though you paid Kirk Cousins $180 million.
Joy Taylor.
I don't expect him to play this year because
no.
The check was written. And you don't need him to play this year. So you're in a unique situation where you have a good starting quarterback, obviously paid as a great starting quarterback, in front of him. I'm not always a fan of sitting rookies. I say, you know, sharks are born swimming. I think you can only learn so much from holding a clipboard. I think you actually have to go out there, feel the speed, feel the intensity of the game, make mistakes, learn from them, learn how to read the defense in real time. All of this is very nice from the sideline, but there's nothing like on the field experience. So I don't always love sitting rookies, but I think this is a situation where this makes sense. I don't agree with the 2 years. I don't think that if Kirk Cousins plays 2 years because of the age of Michael Penix Jr., that then becomes a little bit more interesting. It's not that he's going to be old. I think Kirk has one year. I think Kirk has to win a playoff game this year in order to be there next year. And Michael, especially if Michael Penix Jr. looks good in training camp, and he looks good in preseason. It's going to be a little warm. I don't think they're going to force him in there this year, unless Kirk is tragic, but nobody's expecting him to be that. I think the bigger concern is him coming off of the Achilles injury. But if they don't win a playoff game this year with Kirk Cousins, I don't think he's the starter next year. Because for what? Because you have Michael. You want to be able to get Michael Penix out there and winning when he's on his rookie deal. That's the formula. So if you're able to move off of Kirk Cousins, and essentially this is only a 2 year deal anyway. So if you're able to move off of Kirk Cousins, which there will be somebody in the market who's interested in taking Kirk Cousins next year, and you know, obviously best case scenario, you win with Kirk Cousins and then he's transferred to Michael Penix Jr. and this was all worth it and nobody freaks out. I just think it's only going to be a year of Kirk Cousins in Atlanta.
I expect Penix to play very well. I was one of the first, like, a lot of people were down on Penix. He may be a second rounder.
He got hurt.
I don't care about
him.
I don't care how old he is.
Who cares?
I don't care that he's been hurt. The University of Washington, they were a good football team. Same receivers, same offensive linemen. When Penix showed up on campus, that team changed. They changed. They went undefeated last year because he led them, what you said, extremely accurate. Mm-hmm. Man, it's cannon for a left arm. Cannon. And so accuracy always translates. If it's, you're accurate in college, you're going to be accurate in the NFL. And so if he is given an opportunity to play this year, that means Kirk Cousins is hurt. And he'll play well. I really believe Kirk Cousins is going to play 2 years. Because after 1 year, if they're ready to move on from Kirk Cousins, that means he's played bad. Nobody's going to want him. Yeah, and because if he plays well, they're going to keep him that next year because of the amount of guaranteed money. But whenever Penix gets his opportunity, he's going to take it and run with
it. What if he doesn't play bad? What if he's like...
If Penix shows in practice...
No, Kirk.
Kirk.
No, if Penix shows in practice right. that he's ready to take over... They move on.
So you kind of agree with Joy. So say if
they'll move on.
Say if the Atlanta Falcons win 11 games and they lose first round in the playoffs. Kirk Cousins is the quarterback the next
Let's
year.
Let's just say how the Kansas City Chiefs handled Mahomes. Let's see if we can start him late in the season. Game doesn't matter. Let's see how he plays.
You're talking year one.
Year one. If he can get a start late in the season, week 15, 16, 17. You have a playoff bid locked in. Okay, we can't advance or move down. We're going to play Penix. If he shows them he can play, he's going to pat Mahomes the same way he did with Alex Smith. They're going to move on.
I got a great story for you.
Talk to us.
Here's how Michael Penix got drafted. And I think this will illuminate somewhat of the negativity and hopefully crush it as well. When Michael Penix Jr. was worked out by the Atlanta Falcons, they flew Air Blank from Atlanta to Seattle. It was the assistant GM, the GM, head coach. They were all there, and they wanted to see Michael Penix in person. Mm. So they bring their own footballs, 6-7 footballs. Mm-hmm. What happens? They store them in the luggage of the airplane. When they get off the plane, the Falcons brass realizes these footballs are ice cold, and they got no grip. But they wanted him to throw the NFL football. So they go to Husky Stadium because Dempsey Indoor, mm-hmm. the indoor facility, was being used. It's a 40-degree. You played in Husky Stadium. You know how nasty it can get. It's swirling. It's gloomy. It's ice cold as well. And what happens? Michael Penix Jr. gets these footballs that are nasty. And the Falcons told me, by the way, this was about as bad of a condition as you can have in a football. Mm. And he gets them, doesn't say a word, and he starts throwing lasers, dots. Raheem Morris, the head coach of the Falcons, comes onto the field and starts playing middle linebacker. He wants to see it up close and personal at Husky Stadium. What does he feel? He has that and you've been around Michael Penix. You know his ball spins different. The revolution's different. I thought he had the best pure arm in the draft. And so when Raheem Morris is on the field and he experiences that firsthand, then they say to Michael Penix, we want you to start layering footballs. Let me see your curveball. Let me see your changeup. One dot after another. He missed a couple throws. They said he was completely unfazed. So when I think about all of that, and then Michael Penix Jr. being their guy, because what happens after that, they go back home to Atlanta, and that's the impetus to him becoming a Falcon. Mm. They get on the plane and they say, you know what? I know we have Kirk Cousins. Yeah. We also got our guy of the future at number 8 overall. Well, and that's why they took him.
Yeah, line. You should have started with that story. He playing year one. He playing year one.
So 10 games in. Love him. Well, but they loved him enough to wait for him, though.
Of course.
So, because they didn't move, right?
Well,
so.
But they didn't let anybody, it was a secret. Nobody really believed that Atlanta was taking him 8 until the day.
Nobody.
No. I hear you on that. I think that everyone's sort of pushback on it is you were surprised that he was available at that spot because we did think that there was going to be movement. The Chargers or the Cardinals were going to move out of those spots, trade back. You know, there was going to be some other opportunities for people to come up and get quarterbacks because there were so many people that needed quarterbacks. I mean, the Giants obviously surprised everybody in not taking a quarterback. So they did still run the risk a bit of him being available to them. But I hear you on that.
So are you telling us they turned down some trades? Like, did they get trade calls from, like, my Raiders? And,
I didn't get the sense that Atlanta was getting a lot of calls because I don't think a lot of people really believed
they
were going to go quarterback. And so that's part of the reason, too, you don't tell Cousins. I know there was some fodder with the agent of why didn't you tell my client. But if you tell Kirk Cousins, two things can happen.
His agent going to put it out there because they don't want the Falcons to draft him.
Right. Or you, let's say he goes higher, you don't get him. Now you've created a problem that doesn't even actually exist. So
yeah, the honesty thing is always tricky with players because you do have to keep it in house if it's something that you don't want to get out.
Yeah.
But I think I'm a pretty empathetic person. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins is making a lot of money. You know,
it doesn't help.
Just go but like,
ball, Kirk.
Yeah, just go play.
My prediction with Michael Penix Jr. within the next 4 to 5 years, he is one of the 5 to 7 best quarterbacks in the future, and he wins a Super Bowl in Atlanta, which Matt Ryan never did, and Michael Vick never did.
High praise for the young fella.
Yes, sir. Welcome to Miami, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yes.
What impact will OBJ have on the Falcons? That's next on Speak.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The Dolphins are signing Odell Beckham Jr. on a 1-year deal. The 3-time Pro Bowler had 35 catches for the Ravens last year and will now be joining a wide receiver group including Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. TJ, what impact can OBJ have on the Dolphins?
Talk to me nice, TJ.
Yeah, I want to hear OBJ's nice, TJ.
I don't know. I mean, OBJ had... We look at OBJ and a lot of the OBJ from New York.
Right.
We haven't seen that. And we started to see glimpses of that towards the end of his tenure with the Rams and then ACL. He misses the season. He comes back with the Ravens, and he's just okay. Can he help him? Yeah, he can help him because he's still a good player. But how much of an impact can you have when Tyreek is the number one option? Waddle is the number two option. You may be the number three option, so your targets and your looks and your impact is going to be very limited unless one of those guys goes down. And so his impact will be more off the field, people coming to – I don't know what his impact can be because even last year when he was with the Ravens and Zay Flowers is a leading receiver, you would have thought – okay, OBJ, he can really do something. They opened up their offense last year in Baltimore, and they threw the ball a lot. Mark Andrew goes down. Okay, OBJ can kind of step in. He didn't do that. And so I expect his impact to be very minimal.
James.
You know, my first initial reaction was like T. But as I sit here and I think about it, Odell Beckham has – really good success with quarterbacks that are accurate, that are not running anywhere, that know where to put the ball and get the ball out of their hands. He had a lot of success with Eli Manning. He had a lot of success with Matthew Stafford, two really good throwers of the football. Eli Manning, a really good thrower of the football. Matthew Stafford, a great thrower of the football. Now you come to Tua, where you're going to be on the number three corner, because we already know these defenses getting off the bus. Where is 10? Is that Tyreek Hill number? Where is 10? We got to figure out where 10 is. Is he in the slot? Is he outside? Safety help over the top. Where is 10? Then after 10, where is 17? Where is Waddle? You have to find. So he is going to be on the number three corner in this offense, in McDaniel's offense. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities to make some plays. And the way that Tua plays the game from the pocket, not running anywhere, getting this ball out of his hands, I think he is going to help this Dolphins offense tremendously because eventually if he does his job, you can't send a lot of help over Tyreek Hill now because Odell Beckham is doing what he's supposed to do.
Mm-mm.
I still think he has a lot of juice left,
TJ. He can do everything. You still sending all that help to him.
So if that's the case, OBJ should be looking at 1,000 yards if he can stay healthy. Still do think he has juice. If you watch him play last year with the Baltimore Ravens when he was there, you can still tell that OBJ is there. It's just the play
calls.
He has
1,000 yard
quarterback
juice,
throwing the football and all that.
But he's not going to get the opportunity. Like,
they also have a backfield loaded, so there's a lot of
checkdowns. He wants to run the ball. You know Waddle hadn't – you know no second contract yet, right?
I know that.
Let Odell get 1,000 yards if you want to.
It was my understanding that the real reason this happened was Mike McDaniel behind the scenes pushing, saying – and that's when he met with him about a month ago. Mike McDaniel telling Chris Greer, the GM, expressing an ownership. This guy can help us. He's going to help us right away. And I don't know if Odell Beckham was 100% last year. We talked, didn't practice a whole lot. But at the same time, him being the third option behind Waddle, behind Hill, and running what really he is excellent at, slants, hitches, I think that's Tua's strength as well. And as a result, I think Miami can really maximize him. I don't think they need him to catch 60 balls for 800 yards. If he can give them 45, 50 catches for 500, 600 yards and be a threat, especially in those short yard situations, that's the Odell Beckham I want to see, Joy.
Super Bowl!
Super Bowl!
Wait, like are you with Miami? I'm with the Lakers? Is that what it is? Is that what it is?
What do you mean? That's very realistic expectation.
Okay.
No. Okay. I'm excited for this, though, because of what James said. I don't expect the Odell from New York. I expect the Odell from the Rams. And if you remember, he did not have to be the first option with the Rams. He is not a volume receiver. He is picked in moments, and when you put him in the right specific moments, he is very, very successful. That is what Odell is great at, is moments, particularly at this point in his career. You don't have to be the volume guy. You are not the number one receiver. You are someone who can work with Tua, who is extremely accurate with Mike McDaniel. He was incredibly creative in the offensive side of the ball, and plug into a system where you don't have to do everything. I hear you on Baltimore last year was seemingly a little bit disappointing, but I don't know if that's the same. I don't look at that as the same offense that they're going to run in Miami. He's not going to be used in the same way in Miami that he was in Baltimore. So I think this is a great situation for Odell. I don't expect New York Odell. I expect Rams Odell. Also back with Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah. Rams Odell last time that they were there. Rams Odell might have been the MVP of the Super
Bowl. Rams Odell was pretty
yes,
good.
He was on the, way probably to winning.
If they get that, if he didn't get injured.
But not only that, like I say, when we seen Odell at his best, he was with a solid passing quarterback. Not a quarterback that's looking to run. A quarterback that could really get
this. When was the last time we've seen this?
Stafford. That's what I'm saying. When he was
at that's a while ago.
If you're talking about the health.
3 years ago because he had the ACL injury.
Yeah, if you're talking about the health, that's understandable.
But if he's 31 and Keenan Allen had 1,400 yards at 31, I mean, like, what's the difference? Give him 700.
Keenan Allen hadn't had.
I mean, he had 565 yards last year. So if he is healthy, you can expect
to
see
his. But to be honest with you, in the games that he played last year, when you turn the tape on and watch over,
he still has juice.
That's all I'm saying. So now you're with McDaniels and you're with a quarterback that ain't trying to run or get out of there. I think he's going to have a lot of success.
Targets, they're going to be limited.
Oh, they're going to be.
Yeah, they will be limited. But if they are specific. And they're designed for him, and that's the type of success that
And not only that, if that's the matchup, keep going to the matchup.
Coming up, the Mavericks need one more win to move on to the second round. Are we confident Luka Doncic can close out the Clips tonight? That's next.
All-time great players got to get all-time great smoke. Kevin Durant is an incredibly talented player. It is the burden of talented players to make everybody around them better than they were, than they showed up.
Somebody been cooking just now.
Oh, my.
That's a good thing, man. I hate to hear it.
Wow.
Are you confident, though, that the Packers are going to continue to ascend this season?
Very confident. We're going to the Super Bowl.
Oh.
No, I'm playing. I don't know where we're going.
Are we doing this?
I do not take the Jets seriously. I try very hard to spend very little time in my life talking about the Jets.
Who made that video with Slim? Because it seemed like a tribute. Like it was like,
Did it feel like that?
Like he was gone. He's still alive.
He's still alive.
I thought it was RIP.
Yeah. A great week here on Speak. Thanks for hanging with us. Back to the NBA, the Mavs. Can eliminate the Clippers tonight. Kawhi Leonard out again for LA. On the other side, Luka is averaging about 30 points in the series. Kawhi is not available. James, you confident that Luka closes out the Clippers tonight?
Yeah.
I should say Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah. It's a wrap for the Clippers. Yeah. It's a wrap. Your coach might be available.
He's not going to be available. It's not happening.
Luka closing this thing out. Kyrie is closing this thing out. The Dallas Mavericks are a better basketball team. It's over tonight. It's so hard to say goodbye.
They close it out?
Oh, yeah. Hey, Marcellus, we got a spot for you on that couch that we own, us Lakers fans. So Clip yeah. City, no Chip City. It's over.
Man, you put people on the couch.
Come on.
I think they close it out tonight. I mean, listen, again, Kawhi either matters or he doesn't matter. Like, he's
a
great player. I know everyone was saying it doesn't matter. They're playing well without him. Kawhi Leonard is a great player. It matters when great players aren't available. At one point or another, that's going to hurt you. I think they're going to take advantage of it. I do not think that Ty Lue is going to be available, though. So, again, I'm going to...
Let's manifest it. It's not going to happen.
Ty Lue is going to be with the Clippers. Every time you say it, that means less opportunity for him to go to the Lakers. Jordan, you think it's over tonight?
Absolutely.
That's a wrap.
That's my expert opinion.
Absolutely.
No, it is over. I'd say it's a 17-point W.
I just got.
Oh, it's like
just got breaking news before you right
what?
Now.
What?
Dak Prescott, $200 million.
No.
Wait. On television.
Happy Friday.
It's not April Fool's. All of us are like, well, guess we gotta extend the show. We're done. That's it for us.
That's me.
Race Hub is next.
I like how you said that. That's a good one.
Wow.